This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, you're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Lynn Mark, and today on The Breakfast Grill, I have Datuk Sri Nancy Shukri, Member of Parliament for Batang Sadong and former Minister in the Prime Minister's Department. Welcome to the show, Datuk Sri.
Well, thank you very much. Good morning.
So you, as part of Gabungan Parti Sarawak, abstained from voting on the recent constitutional amendment bill that went through Parliament on the status of Sabah and Sarawak. And it's a move which has been described as a political one. Why did you do it?
Well, I think it's better for me to explain the background of it. Now, prior to that, we were told that there is going to be an amendment to the Article 1, in brackets 2 of the Federal Constitution, but we don't know what is going to come up. Of course, we welcome the move because, well, it's the first time to be able to amend a constitution, so it's not easy. So we really worked hard to prepare ourselves for what's coming up. Then we were waiting for the draft, and the draft bill only came in on the 4th, and it was first reading. So we have asked the minister to defer it first. To defer it because we want it to be discussed, deliberated by our state AG and, of course, those who are in the legal fraternity who would be able to guide us on what should be the amendments. And also, I think it's good for us to take the opportunity since this is a golden opportunity for everyone, not just for us, but also for Sabah and for the whole Malaysia. So perhaps maybe we could strengthen it. But before that, we told the minister, why not we just wait? There's one committee that is now having discussion. It is headed by the Prime Minister himself. It's better for them to conclude that first. That's our intention. But at the same time, we also suggested that the best thing is also to look at the law as a package, not in piecemeal. Because when you talk about drafting, you cannot just go back to 1963 and then just accept it. No.
That is, just to be clear, Sarawakian MPs received no details whatsoever about the proposed amendment prior to it being tabled.
No.
But the Dewan Rakyat Speaker, Datuk Muhammad Arif Yusof, said that a 24-hour notice was given the previous night. Were you not alerted to the notice?
We just saw it on our table on the 4th itself when the minister read the first reading of the bill. So there was no chance for us to really deliberate on it. It was a Thursday. Thursday was the last day of the week. That's why we asked for deferment. Number one is because of the committee still sitting. Let them conclude it first. And number two, I think it's worthwhile for them to look into other provisions of the Constitution, because we are of the view that apart from Article 1 in brackets 2, we also need to amend Article 160 in brackets 2, which defines Federation of Malaya, not Malaysia. Of course, according to the minister, the AG, the federal AG, has a different view. But when people have so many views, then all the more we wanted them to discuss. Hmm. We told the minister, if you do not want to defer, okay, we submitted our version of our the amendment. So we said pursuant to MA63 has to be in there. So our version is the Federation pursuant to MA63, blah, blah, blah. So just to add on the 6 words. Hmm. And he said the AG doesn't agree with that because we already inserted that in the explanatory notes. To us, explanatory notes is different from the law itself. Okay, if that is the case, we will ask for it to be referred to the special select committee. Then he said, no, we cannot take that. So we are very transparent. The minister knew. We were called by him 3 times.
This was before or after?
Before. That was after the first reading. On the 9th of the morning, we were called. So again, we told him, this is our line of action.
But it seems almost difficult to believe that the Pakatan Harapan government would have attempted to push through this amendment without having negotiated with other parties from across the divide, including those in Gabungan Parti Sarawak, because obviously this is your state that we're dealing with.
Exactly.
So does that mean to say that you were not called for negotiations or deliberations?
No. Of course, when you could hear that the minister had been saying, the CM knew, Sarawak knew. The CM knew about the intention, just like us. We knew about the intention, but we did not know what was coming up for us.
Now, of course, the Sarawak State Legislative Assembly has also said that it's planning to table a better amendment to the constitution to debate within the assembly itself before bringing to the federal government. Yeah. So what can you tell us about that?
Yeah, actually, the Assistant Minister for Law in Sarawak, she's preparing a motion. I believe they are going to tighten it as well. I mean, actually, we have been putting up our wordings pursuant to MD63, and we have been giving reasons to it. So I don't see why they did not buy our proposed amendment, because it doesn't look good on the government. And of course, when the PM read out his winding up, he said, yeah, he agreed with the pursuant to MA63, he agreed with us on referring it to the Select Committee, but approve this first. We cannot take that as a guarantee for them to really pursue with whatever they have asked for.
Essentially, what you're saying is that Sarawakian MPs don't trust the federal government to move forward with additional amendments heading towards the amending of MA63. Is that what you're saying?
Well, to be exact, that's why we wanted our proposal to be accepted first. We can't afford to, we say just take this one, approve this one first, because especially with the recent situation in Sarawak, under Article 161E in the Federal Constitution, there are certain matters, especially when it involves boundaries. You have to consult the state first. So when
this was the renegotiation of the territorial waters,
Territorial Sea Act, the Continental Shelf Act, and we were blamed for that. But you see, it's okay for us to approve in Parliament, but in order for you to extend it to Sarawak, you have to bring it to the State Legislative Assembly for them to deliberate on it and then to approve or disapprove. But that is the federal constitution, and yet it's not being complied with. How can you believe them anymore? We cannot take that risk anymore.
Aside from that, Datuk Sri, Gabungan Parti Sarawak is looking to maintain control of the state assembly, especially with the state elections coming up soon. So what are some of the key issues that GPS, as well as Parti Pusaka Bumi Putra Bersatu, what are the key issues that you're going to be putting forward during the run-up to the state elections?
Well, actually, ever since BN lost, we were in a state of shock in a way, because a lot of things that happened were through the federal governments. And then the water issues, the electricity, it's all provided for by the federal government, because that's under the concurrent list in the federal constitution. So therefore, when things happened, and suddenly when there was no water, of course, that had been happening all along. Mm-hmm. But it was an ongoing process in terms of providing people with new pipelines, new electricity, all the requirements under electricity.
Because these are infrastructure projects that were made on the assumption that Barisan Nasional would continue to be in
But
power.
It had been under Barisan and under the federal all along. So fortunately, Sarawak has money on its own. Then we undertook to do all these projects, and it is an ongoing thing. Now, this is our priority now. This is our priority more on our infrastructure, because we knew we cannot expect from federal. Of course, sometimes I've been bashed by people say, oh, why last time you didn't mention this? Of course, we did not mention it because we were under one umbrella. Nobody knew how we talk about it in parliament and even in cabinet. So now we also have to make noise, because it is our right that has been eroded under the supreme law.
I've been speaking to Datuk Sri Nancy Shukri, Member of Parliament for Batang Sadong and former minister in the Prime Minister's Department. We'll be right back with more after this, so stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking to Dato' Sri Nancy Shukri, Member of Parliament for Batang Sadong and former Minister in the Prime Minister's Department. Now, Dato' Sri, coming back to the constitutional amendment briefly, you've said as previous de facto law minister that you would not have pushed the amendment through without support. Now, from your experience as someone who once held the law portfolio, what can Pakatan Harapan do now?
Now, the thing is, to be fair with our stakeholders, I mean, in this regard, you're talking about the federal constitution, which we never did it. We never pushed for amendment to the federal constitution.
In general.
Because we knew it's not easy to get a two-third. What we did for Sarawak, in this respect, we had a committee formed during my time, which was called a Devolution of Power Committee. So we worked out what exactly we wanted for Sarawak and for Sabah. But Sarawak was moving very fast. We had 13 points of requests made to the federal government, and they were all approved. Well, I could name maybe a few of them. I can't remember all. But at least we wanted at least 90% of our teachers from Sarawak to serve in Sarawak. And then, secondly, we wanted to recruit 100 more officers for Immigration Department. And then there are quite a number of other things as well. There are 13 points, and they were all being approved. We don't have to amend the law. So that was very fast.
But approved and executed?
Yeah.
All of them?
Yeah. But because that is administrative, it's not under the law. Now, you are asking what can Pakatan Harapan do? And in my case, personally, when I was the minister, there were quite a number of amendments did during my time under the Criminal Procedure Code and other amendments as well. What I did was, because the AG, they did not hold a town hall, you know, for amendments, so because that's not their job, according to them. So what I did was, I called some of those in the opposition, sit down with us, now let's talk. If any of you from the opposition felt that, you know, this is not good, give your comments. Rather than having it to be amended in the parliament, that doesn't look nice on the government. So that's how I did my job. So you don't just bulldoze things over just like that. And if you talk about Article 1 in brackets 2, it's affecting the whole nation. It's not just Sarawak, not just Sabah, the whole nation. Because the whole nation is going to refer to the Article 1 in brackets 2.
Another thing that's been brought up about your tenure as law minister, Dato' Sri, is the fact that you held law portfolio during the time when the 1MDB scandal was first coming to light, and there have been allegations that you turned a blind eye to it. So did you turn a blind eye?
No, the thing is, 1MDB has nothing to do with me at that time, because it's more of from the MOF point of view. So when people ask me, it was not even there yet. But so I cannot do anything about it, because it has nothing to do with us yet at that time.
But the Attorney General was investigating the issue, and he comes under your purview as a
Law minister. But they don't discuss things with me until the matter has to come to court, you know. But normally, we don't know what's going on in the administration side. So it was really not under my portfolio. I mean, not under my administration yet, in terms of doing the job at that time, because it was not addressed by us yet, unless it was brought to my attention. But so far, I have no knowledge about it at that time.
But the Attorney General does report to.
No, he doesn't report to me. He reports directly to the Prime Minister.
I see.
It's only when it comes to question in Parliament, you know, then only they will discuss with her. That's how the system works.
Is this the normal procedure, though, that the Attorney General reports directly to the Prime Minister?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in the case of Tan Sri Abdul Ghani Patail at the time, who he said subsequently that he was planning to bring charges against Dato' Sri Najib Razak, who would he have been reporting to, or would he have been acting entirely?
No, he never discussed things with me. With Tan Sri Ghani, I remember when he had to table a paper in the cabinet, he thought that it would be the Prime Minister who would be signing it. Actually, that's the time administratively I have to sign on the cabinet paper. So he was always reporting to the prime minister. So he didn't know that, you know, he would have to go through me in terms of presenting the paper in cabinet. I remember when he, at 10 o'clock at night, he told me, Wabi, sorry, I didn't know that you have to sign it. You have to, can you please come early tomorrow morning to sign the cabinet paper? You see, this is the thing that I was not even consulted.
I'm speaking to Datuk Sri Nancy Shukri, MP for Batang Sadong and former de facto law minister. Now, Datuk Sri, when BN lost in GE14, a lot of MPs, yourself included, found themselves in the unfamiliar position of being a member of the opposition. How did you have to reshift your strategies when dealing with your constituents as well as with the new government?
Yeah, we have to learn, actually. As I said, we have to adjust. It's not easy because, you see, especially us from Sarawak, We have a different way of doing things as MP. So far as I remember, I never even label anybody in the opposition during my time as a serving MP during you know, the past years. So we were always talking good about what the government is doing. For us in Sarawak, you know, when we go to our constituency or when we meet people, we don't have to talk about oppositions. Because to me, we have a lot of good stories, successful stories to share with the people. So when we become opposition, it's a bit difficult, but of course you have to look into what ought to be done. So at the moment, like, I mean, when we are now in the opposition, I have to talk about Sarawak especially. I don't want to talk about other things because Sarawak is our the main focus. So what is it about Sarawak that we have to focus on? It's about the MA63 because that's the in thing. So the Sarawakians want to know what we are doing in Parliament about it. So suddenly you have to change your tonation, change your approach, you know. But of course, especially when you are being provoked by the other side, you have to answer, you have to respond. So this is a different, a switch in role is something that, well, for me personally, I really have to learn fast. And I think I'm doing it already now. We have to do the job.
Has it been easy engaging with Pakatan Harapan since they've come into power, speaking as a Sarawakian MP?
When you mentioned about easy engaging with Pakatan Harapan, talking to ministers, well, I must say it's not as simple as that. They have a big gate there. They have people blocking, you know. It's not that easy to get to see them. But for me, what I did, I just give them a note because I've been a minister myself. So it's I'm not trying to single out anybody, but from my own experience, even just to ask for, can you make sure that your doctor, I asked for from the health minister, can you make sure that your doctor and the nurses can still follow me? Like, because I used to go and visit some people in the kampung, you know, I used to have doctors and nurses to come and then these are sick people. And the minister answered me, I have to ask the prime minister. I said, what? You have to ask the prime minister just for that? Come on, I said. It's about perception. I mean, if the minister listened to me now, but I thank him after that, he agreed. The thing is, but that's what happened. He said, about perception. What perception are we talking about? This comes under the concurrent list. Luckily, I know the law. This comes under concurrent list. Health comes under the concurrent list in the federal constitution. Why do you have to refer to the prime minister on this as well? It's about sick people, you know. So that's one example.
Thank you so much for coming on the show, Datuk Sri. I've been speaking to Datuk Sri Nancy Shukri, Member of Parliament for Batang Sadong and former minister in the Prime Minister's Department. I'm Lynn Mark for The Morning Run on BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile. Now with faster speeds every day. Barulah best.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.